Hey everyone, how you doing today? I got a special treat for you. You know, in extremely large organizations, when you think about implementing customer success, everybody's like, aren't we already doing some of these things in different aspects of the organization? And the answer is probably yes, you do. So, do you need a customer success function? Where should it sit? And if you were to initiate a new role called Chief Customer Officer, what should that person own? A lot of times I have very large companies and they already set up a customer success function. And for some reason, they put it under sales. And other people outside from the organization would say, well, why is customer success under the CRO? Is that like a good move? Yes or no? So, all these questions are really critical in large organizations that has been around for a few years, and they have their way of doing things, and they have a lot of questions and debates. And I brought in Himanshu Garg from India. He's one of the major thought leaders in India around customer success. And so I'm super honored to have you on our podcast show to really debate about this and share your thinking about it. But before we start, maybe you can kind of give the audience a little bit of background about yourself. How long have you been doing customer success, and why are you like the person to actually debate about this question?
Hey, Reid, thank you for having me here and such kind words. I am Himanshu Garg. I'm based out of India. I have about 15 plus years in the industry as an experience working and about 8 years plus in core customer success. Been doing customer success for a while. I've worked in large organizations, some of the large enterprises that one can think of, and even some of the startups. So I think you can count on this video for some of the insights on how organizations should think about designing their org structure if they're inheriting a customer success team or joining a large organization and setting up a big customer success team.
Awesome. So let's start with question number one. Should customer success be positioned under the chief revenue officer or even sales? What do you think about that?
Well, hasn't that been the trend so far? I don't see anything wrong in that, but I have slight contention on that. Sales is there for a purpose to hunt and farm. So I think we should just leave them to that. Customer success is a journey in itself. If you really want to have a customer be successful, then you need to invest time in that. And I personally believe that any customer-facing team in an organization, there could be multiple teams that touch base with the customer. I personally believe that all such teams should be under one umbrella, and it's debatable.
Well, I think what you're also saying when you say, well, let them hunt and farm, that means that they're going to be focused on the revenues and their key performance indicators. The key metrics by which we assess whether they're successful is revenue metrics. Whereas if the customer success, for what you just said, is responsible for the journey, we're going to assess them on proactivity and managing the relationship and ongoing engagement with the customer, and how much value does the customer gain out of that engagement. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you just nailed it. So the main job of the sales is to get more revenue, and that itself is an uphill task. So I think we should just give them their bandwidth and enough time to just do that. The remaining part, whether it's value realization, as you mentioned, or proactivity or relationship building, which all together actually leads to a certain desired outcome of the client. And that should just be left totally to the customer success team.
So, in other words, so long as the internal QBR for both teams is completely different. One, the sales team, you would ask them, well, what are your projections in terms of wallet share for existing accounts and new logos? But then you ask the CSM on their internal QBRs, what were some of the value that you provided? What are your success plans for that account in terms of increased adoption, increased value, and even advocacy? And potentially, maybe how many CSQLs have you found, the customer success qualified leads? Then you're okay. Why do some people, do you think, say, no, you can't have it under sales? What is the main concern here?
So the main concern here is what happens is in most of the times, it's about the sales not letting go of the account. Once they've hunted the account, once they've got the logo, they've got the deal, all right? But maybe it's the nature of the account that it's too huge, for example, or it's too critical, or it's brand value or something, that they still want to have the relationship. which is still fine. But in large organizations, what happens when a customer success person, as I said, it's a journey for him or her, they need a lot of penetration and they need to make their own way in roads. At that time, there are a lot of overlaps and overstepping that would happen, which could not jeopardize the journey. So that's why I feel instead of calling sales, I call it hunters and farmers, which is clearly differentiating between the two. And so once you've hunted the account, just go on for the next one. And if you're a farmer, then we both still have the same stakeholder maybe that we're interacting with. That's why most of the organizations have customer success under sales, because they feel that, hey, we already have the connect.
So the relationship.
We're dealing with the revenue part, right, which is the main ingredient of all. So if you want to talk to the client or customer, come through us, we'll introduce you. Or if you want to meet, I'm anyway going next week, you can tag along with me and things like that. So I think there is something that's not really justified clearly, but there is just a notion that it's good to have under the sales. So I think that the legacy has continued without anybody questioning it or trying to come up with another way and showing it that it can be done in a better way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of miseducation when you first introduce a CSM to the sales org, especially if you put them inside the same organization. They tend to feel like maybe it's a competitive role, that there's too many overlaps, instead of feeling like, all right, now I can really focus on expansion and new logos. They really hog the relationship, necessarily thinking that, well, introducing another person could be a risk. Where I've seen it work really, really well is where there's clear swim lanes. The R&R, as we like to call it, the relationship role and responsibilities are clearly defined, and there's a clear dance on who owns what type of engagement with the customer throughout their journey. And I think that organizations that fail to do so are going to be in a lot of trouble down the road when they just introduce the CSM. Another risk that I've seen is that to mitigate the risk without a clear R&R is the salesperson start placing the CSM more in a position of product adoption master, and it becomes gradually a very technical role. So if my account is completely independent, they know what they're doing, they're very mature with the product, then I don't need a CSM because the account is very healthy from a product adoption standpoint. And now we're seeing this blocking and tackling over like, you know what, I got the relationship, don't worry about it. But then I, as the AE or the account manager, spend a lot of time doing that ongoing relationship and touch points instead of really focusing on accounts that would make my quota. Does that resonate? Does that happen in your world?
Yeah, it does. It does. Absolutely. That's exactly what happens in the real world. And what happens in that case is then over a period of time, your customer success team then just becomes a formality that you just need to have a team called customer success. And then they're not allowed to even do what they're actually meant to do and create value. Yeah. That's the most important thing, which gets just pushed under the carpet. Another thing is that, again, the customer success manager in certain organizations is actually a very technical role, to be honest. But again, since they know the product in and out, and they know the pros and cons of this product, if used in an X way or used in a Y way, how it's going to impact the customer's revenue and business, I think they are the best persons to go and do renewal as well. So there's another flavor to that to certain organizations, because their product is such complex and technically advanced that you need someone who knows the product in and out to actually convince the customer to show them the real value of the product in terms of how it's impacting their business as well.
Okay. I've seen it done a few ways. I agree with you. If it's a medium-sized organization, that's good enough. In larger organizations, you should split that. You should have a team that's a technical expert on the product, and then another team, a customer success manager, that really understands it enough to make some suggestions to the account as to what should they adopt next, but then bring in the product expert to really manage any escalations, to do demos, to kind of have a solution architect moment, or doing health checks. Once you start marrying those two functions, it's not highly scalable. Do you agree?
No, absolutely. And that's where my idea of having such teams who are individual teams to come under one umbrella.
Okay, let's explore that. So first, we kind of tackled what happens when large organizations put the customer success under sales. That's kind of like enigma one that we needed to solve. Now what we're going to talk about is kind of like the second scenario, which is the optimal organizational structure of customer success, or rather, how should we think about structuring customer success activities in a large organization to optimize for customer experience? So I know you have some thoughts about the topic. I'd love for you to share those.
No, absolutely. So first and foremost, as I said, if someone is inheriting a team or joining an organization, setting up a large customer success team, he needs to, first of all, understand the customer's journey in that organization, because every customer's journey depends on the product the customer is using or and the organization that or they're tied up with. More or less, it could be same, but still there would be a hell lot of difference when you start deep diving into it. So the first and foremost important thing for me or what I would do is that, like a layman, I would just sit there and understand the journey. Okay, so from day one, what happens, right? From, you know, lead generation to cold calling or whatever, until the renewal cycle is closed. So I would love to understand the entire journey. Again, revisit it, reverse engineering and understanding it again. And then I would have a blueprint in my mind as to what are the different teams that talk to this customer and what's the frequency in which they're talking during the journey once I've understood the life cycle. And I will start plotting it in such a way that for me, the line that I will draw in the journey is that first half would be where we are still trying to acquire the customer, and there could be multiple stages in that. And until the deal is signed and it's been handed over to a post-sales team. And then once from there on, I think there are other few teams that touch base with the customer until the contract is renewed. And again, depending on the nature of the product, as soon as the deal is signed, if it's a simple plug and play software, boom, the customer is live, is using, and your revenue starts generating. But if it's a complex product, it might even take a couple of months for it to just integrate or do the customizations before they go live. So that's why for me, the most important thing to draw the line in the journey is pre-sales or the sales journey, and I will say the post-sales journey. So that's something I would do to start off.
Yep. I think that we can probably segregate the customer journey between pre-sales and then post-sale. And I think it's more like a infinity loop rather than a linear line.
Well, it is. Once you know you've acquired the customer and they've renewed, as you said, if it's a customer success qualified lead, you would again pass it on to the sales, and the sales would just close it. So it then becomes an infinite loop for sure. But again, when the loop is running, you still have the teams stationed at a certain stage. The customer keeps moving. So I would have all the post-sales customer-facing teams under one wing, one umbrella, or one leader, and the remaining under one leader right from the time, you know, your cold calling or lead generation happens till the deal is signed. As you said, you have clear swim lanes. People exactly know what they're supposed to do. That way your tasks are cut out, you have clearer timelines, and you will be more focused and doing some really materialistic and substantial work.
You're really saying two things. One, first of all, the customer would always go through these various teams throughout their customer journey multiple times in their life cycle. So bear in mind that we want to target a very smooth experience. So the handover should be smooth. And in other words, if I had to translate it, you said the customer success is not necessarily just the customer success function. It's really a customer success culture. By doing that, you're essentially enforcing a customer-centric culture, saying, listen, we're all in this to deliver customer success. Here are the different players within the organization, and the way that you define who that are going to participate, and here's how you define them, is by plotting the customer journey, defining the different touch points, and then assigning an owner for each to illustrate that.
Absolutely. Yes, that's right.
In your experience, what should ideally, like, what kind of functions should we have there? Do you really include everything from sales to post-sale? And then who should ideally own the pre-sales activities and who should own the post-sales activities? When you just go to an organization that has existed for, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years or more, they would have these functionalities in various areas of the business.
Yes.
So what is your recommendation?
Well, I wish there was an ideal situation or an ideal company with the ideal setup. But if at all I was given a choice, or maybe again, as I said, nobody has challenged the status quo so far, but I would rather have starting right from the lead generation team, which could also include a little bit of marketing team or some part of the marketing team that can help in lead generation, dedicated BDS, your business development managers or your sales development managers who do the cold calling or who skim through the list of the probable leads, to your front-end sales teams, your sales team station in your organization, then your core marketing team who can help you do some events and things like that, organize some events and help you generate lead over there. Right?
Let's focus on the post-sale, because that pre-sales is not our expertise and this is not what this channel is necessarily about. But so pre-sale, you will put probably under a CRO, anything related to before the customer signs a contract. But then after the customer signs a contract, which functions would you roll up under the CCO?
Any team that is responsible to make the customer go live and help them start using your product, help them start measuring your product, help them start monitoring your product. I would like to have all such teams under one umbrella. For example, in my current setup, I have, as soon as the deal is signed, it comes to my integrations team, for example. So a customer success guy he's still not even in the picture yet, because it takes about a month or two for us to just get the product ready based on the customer's requirements and to do all the API integrations and all sorts of customizations to just give them that, hey, here is your product. Now you're ready to use. So I want them to be under one umbrella. Then it comes to the customer success manager, who is actually driving the adoption, usage, explaining the features, running them through the, okay, so we showed you a big chunk of mountain during the sales cycle. Out of that, you chose to have a certain bits and pieces. Now we've stitched it all together. So now I will tell you how to use this customized thing. So I would like to have my proper core customer success team under that wing. Then there could be a support team. There could be a product expert or a tech solutions team.
Yeah. Would you put the application engineers under your team? Because sometimes application engineers also do pre-sales, they do proof of concepts and trials.
It depends, again, how the organization is set. Because in certain organizations, this team helps the sales guys as well, going on demos and doing the tech side of it. And some organizations that I've seen is we have a PMM guy who is actually playing that role, who's dedicated only to the sales, and there's no overlap here. But again, that's a thin line of difference where certain organizations would like to split that. But if my product is core tech, and if I know I'm a large enterprise company, I would rather split it and keep it separate. And then there could be some other teams, like we're just depending on the product. Again, we deal with a lot of banks, we deal with a lot of third party companies as well. So it's just not what my company is doing, but I'm also dependent on a couple of other entities in the ecosystem as well to deliver success to my customer. So I would like to have those teams also under the same umbrella to deliver the final outcome for the customer. All these teams are very essential. And now just imagine if they are spread across different functions and different business units. It's going to be extremely difficult in terms of reducing the time to value, in terms of whether it's making them go live or whether it's after go live, they have an issue or a concern or a ticket raised with you to even give that resolution, because then you have multiple hops to solve that and each hop will have their own SLAs. So if you have it under one umbrella, you can tweak, twist, break, whatever you want to do with the SLAs. You will only think about the customer's goal at the end of the day.
What about product training and enablement?
I think that should be on top of, it should be a unified thing that covers all, because you cannot simply say that this training would be for you or this training would be for you, because you might want to just learn how sales is doing their job. Sales would want to know how customer success is doing their job. So I think the training should be unified so that it gives us the flavor of each other, and that helps us to know what my role is essentially and what their role is essentially.
So outside of the customer success organization, outside of the CCO's office, yes?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so I got it. So there's the CCO, he has implementation and onboarding. He has the customer success, which is product adoption and value.
Post-sales support as well, yeah.
Right, all the post-sales stuff. What about if you have a component of your products that are on-prem, who handles software upgrades?
Post-sales team, that's the customer success
under
team.
Under the CCO?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. What about hot fixes and escalation?
You're my
customer. The ones that R&D does, like bug fixes and such. Who handles them?
again, that's core tech. That's your engineering team who develops your product, basically.
That's kind of like dotted line to the CCO, but not under.
Maybe not. I would say dotted line is a very ambitious thing to have. Why not? That's a pure tech team. So I think you just go with the problem statement to them that this is broken and here are the different use cases and the multiple customers affected and the ARR getting affected because of this. The team will come in, implement the hard fix, do a testing and roll it out and move back. So I think that should still remain independent, I would say. So your software development, your software testing, your product roadmap analysis, all that should be a different wing altogether.
And technical support definitely under the CCO's umbrella?
Yes, yes.
What about partner success?
Under the CCO, no doubt.
All right, so we have all these. You know, one more thing, if we're talking about org charts and how that impacts our ability to improve the customer experience, thereby customer success, one of the challenges that large global organizations have is that you might have a GM, a general manager, under each major geographical region. Mm-hmm. And they might sometimes say, well, it makes more sense for the customer success to report to me. And then the customer success manager actually is dotted line to the head of customer success. And that would go for maybe other functions like support or a TAM, a technical account manager. How do you feel about that debate? Have you ever encountered it in one of the larger organizations that you worked at? And what worked out best?
Yes, absolutely. I've encountered that very large organization that I worked. And the common phrase around the organization was it's a spider web organization, basically. So that's how they term it. So what happens is, yes, when you have a 100,000 employee organization, so obviously you will then, the company will segment itself based on geographies, first of all, and every geography will have a country head, a president and a vice president and a GM and stuff like that. And then that will have, like, let's say, an engineering product wing, a pre-sale sales wing, a customer success CCO wing, everything under one country. So obviously that happens. But ultimately, what defines you is that your OKRs. So building an org or designing an org is just not about telling who reports to who and what, but there are multiple flavors to it. And then in a setup like what you just mentioned about a spider web kind of an org, I think then comes the next level of org design is the OKRs. So if the OKRs are well-defined, saying that no matter what country, geography, because of the sheer bigness of the organization, we are dividing it that way, but your OKR still remains same because every country...
customer success role.
Yes, because every country head will then be responsible to a certain revenue. Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, we all work for revenue, no matter what industry you come from. Mm-hmm. So every country head would have a revenue, a target given to them. Now, that target will be broken down into sales or hunting or pure new logos versus what you're getting from your existing addressable market that you have already acquired. And it will eventually trickle down to your end sales team and the end customer success team of that country or geography. So I think if the orgs are designed keeping the OKRs also in mind, I think the problem will be solved.
So you're okay with the CSMs reporting to the GM in the region, so long as they're dotted line to the customer success organization and their objectives and key results and the metrics by which they are monitored for performance, let's say, or even comp plan is the same as the rest of the team. Can that leave potentially the head of CS with no real employees reporting under them? And if so, what is their role?
No, not really. So there are two things that can happen in this, which I've experienced myself. First part is that what happens then, just think that there are small companies in every country then. So you have an engineering product team, you have a sales team, you have a customer success team, you have finance team, everything under one general manager, for example. Okay. So that's how things get eventually balanced out so that you don't have to then worry only about the customer success team in that kind of a reporting structure, but you also have all the other dependent stakeholders that you want are also within that geography along with you. Right. So that part is taken care. Coming to the main at the top of the layer, that is where your CCO is. I think he would be then dealing with all the country heads in terms of understanding how the revenue is working or how the post-sales engagement is going on. Again, the OKRs come into play there. So the OKRs will change a bit wherein the chief customer officer will have a certain kind of an ask from each country head saying that how is my post-sales business or a post-sales customer experience shaping up and trending. So I think it should not be a problem if we have the right OKRs. And again, that leads us back to the first thing that we started our conversation, is that culture is going to be extremely important here. Customer-centric culture trickling down from top to bottom. If that is happening, then I think these things can be ironed out.
Yeah, this is great. And I think you're right. As long as we have the objectives and key results, key metrics all aligned. And this is kind of the theme that is coming up in my recent conversations with other leaders or customer success executives, that the key performance indicators for each team should be very well thought out in a customer-centric way, and how it plays with other teams to really hone in on the roles and responsibilities and make sure we're all aligned to objectives that make sense within our org chart. A lot of really great insights today, Himanshu. I really appreciate you coming in and sharing from your experience in how to deal with customer success and what works best in large organizations, because they do have to accommodate to an existing reality. You can't just read a blog and implement. You kind of have to feel what's going on. And I will just say one more thing. Sometimes you have a GM for each region, and sometimes you have a GM for each product. And whatever it is, you will find some verticality in it. It sometimes makes a lot of sense to have a CSM team under each product or under each region, but then have all of them have some sort of an umbrella organization so yes. that they can share best practices, templates that works, activities that works, give them training for all of them at the same time related to customer success and how to handle the customer engagement, and have an overall vision. So there's one software that all of them are using, one set of tools. And so I think that helps scale the business in a great deal. Is that your vision as well?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. Because as you rightly mentioned, there could be a GM for a certain product itself and a customer success team dedicated to that product. Because if the product is so complicated and complex, and if there are plethora of such products in that company, not one CSM can do justice to all the product lines. So definitely. And then when you say that you can have a common, bring them under a common umbrella, is because that is very much required, because then that aligns with the larger vision and the organizational goals as well. So everyone knows that though we are split into multiple small little chunks and groups, but ultimately we are working for the same top of the head, where we share the same organization goals and OKRs. Yeah, I think that's how I think an ideal situation or an organizational design, I would say, for customer success should be.
Awesome. Well, bottom line out of this conversation, if you are going to get one thing out of it, is think carefully about your org structure, because it will have an impact on the customer experience. And in this discussion, we actually had a lot of insights around considerations for org charts, especially in large organizations that already have a complex setup. Himanshu, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insights and expertise again. This was absolutely fabulous.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. And I hope we can do one more sometime again.
Yeah, maybe like on the NPS survey and how you do it by persona. I think that's fascinating too.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, guys, if you enjoyed this video and got a lot of insights out of it, give it a thumbs up, give it a like, subscribe to our channel, tell other people about it. And of course, if you need help figuring out the right organizational structure for your organization and you feel like you need some help with it, give me a call. All right, guys, I'll see you at the next video.